United States v. Blauen. Counsel for the appellant, please.
Chief Judge Baker, members of the court, may it please the court. I am Captain Heather Traigle, and I, along with Major Aaron Ingebrandt, represent the appellant, Special Stainer Blauen. The military judge relied on United States v. Knox for the proposition that nudity is not required under the federal definition of child pornography. This reliance was error and ultimately created a substantial basis in law and fact to question the plea. As to the error, Knox was decided in 1994 and interpreted the 1988 version of the statute. The statute that was interpreted in Knox did not include a graphic requirement. Thus, any interpretation that nudity is not required under the statute can no longer be sound with a statute that now requires that digital images also be graphic.
So the delta is, the error delta is between whatever is the gap between Knox and 2256, 8 and 10.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, could you repeat that?
To the extent the judge erred, he erred because Section 10 requires, graphic requires, at least partial nudity, in your view.
Yes.
And Knox requires no nudity. Is that the error?
Yes, Your Honor. Knox was interpreting a statute that didn't have that requirement.
And you interpret 10 to require at least partial?
Correct, Your Honor.
You're not arguing it requires whatever the opposite of partial is, more than partial?
No, Your Honor.
And to be clear, you can plead guilty without pictures, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
So your issue is not based on the pictures. This would have been a provident plea, in your view, if they had skipped the pre-sentencing thing and got the instruction correct, the guidance correct.
Your Honor, it could have potentially been a provident plea had the pictures not been entered into evidence and it been solely off of Specialist Blauen's description of the images. But that is still questionable in light of the confusion the military judge created throughout the provident inquiry.
Why is it a problem? This is a question, not a statement. Why is it problematic if his description describes pictures that are completely nude or nude? So, yes, it's error to do Knox rather than 10, but if the description of the pictures indicates that they fit the narrower definition, why is that error? Or why is it a substantial basis to question the plea?
Your Honor, it's error because Specialist Blauen's descriptions do not, in and of themselves, describe the pictures as being fully nude. They're...
or partially nude.
Correct, Your Honor. The military judge, each time that Specialist Blauen describes being able to see the genital area in, or that it's the focus of the picture, the military judge then clarifies that that area is closed, and that even though closed, the area is still visible. So from the provident inquiry itself, it is not clear that Specialist Blauen is describing partially nude pictures.
I get it. But if he did, would there be a substantial basis in law and fact to question the plea? So we'll stipulate it's error to go with Knox rather than 10. But nonetheless, the appellant, and I'm not saying this is what occurred. You were very clear in your argument. But nonetheless, the appellant says they were partially nude in each of the pictures.
If the appellant had described the pictures as partially nude, Your Honor, then yes, there could possibly not be the issue with the counsel.
I'd like to walk you back a little bit to see how we even get to 10, okay? Because it seems to me that you would agree that unless you accept your premise that 10 applies to these pictures, reliance on Knox is fine.
Your Honor, reliance on Knox,
which is really just talking about the DOS factors, right?
Knox is talking about the DOS factors.
Okay, so we'll start there, right? And but 10, 2256, 10, right? Is it your contention that that applies to all child pornography?
2256.10, no, Your Honor, it does not apply to all child pornography.
Okay, so, and so you would agree that ordinarily, 2A says, except as provided in subparagraph D, sexually explicit conduct means actual or simulated, and then you get down to lascivious exhibition of genitals or pubic area of any person, right? And that's DOS.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, and so then you get to B, right? And that's what's talking about graphic sexual intercourse.
Correct.
Which leads you to 10 and its definition of what that means.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so explain to me why this is a 2256-2B as opposed to 2A case.
It's a 2256-2B case because the images that were possessed in Specialist Blount's case were digital images. And under subsection 8B, when the visual depiction is a digital image, a computer image, or a computer-generated image, that is or is indistinguishable from a minor, or is indistinguishable from that of a minor engaging in sexually
explicit. And what do you suppose that subsection is talking about? And why do you suppose that there's a heightened requirement that the material be graphic?
Well, Your Honor, this goes to the congressional intent in amending the statute in 2003. When Congress amended the statute in 2003, they made specific findings of fact, which are codified in 18 U.S.C. 2251. Those findings indicate they specifically found that most images today are no longer first-generation images, but are in some form of digital format. And in light of the Supreme Court decision in Ashcroft, it was becoming harder to prosecute child pornography cases that dealt with digital media.
What is the difference between them, and what was the problem in Ashcroft with respect to images that were indistinguishable from a minor?
Well, the issue in Ashcroft was that the statute said appears to be a minor. So here they have said is or is indistinguishable from.
Yeah, even if it's indistinguishable from a minor, right? Is the fact that it's a lascivious exhibition enough? If it's not an actual minor.
No, Your Honor, it's not enough, which is why they added the graphic requirement.
Okay, and so here, is there any suggestion that the images in this case were not, that they were virtual or indistinguishable from child, or that they were actual children?
Well, Your Honor, there's nothing in the record to indicate whether the images are actual children.
But this is a plea case.
Correct, but the military judge never addressed.
There's no requirement that the person was required to plead. They could have contested it and said these are virtual or something else, but he didn't.
Yes, Your Honor.
Because there's three types, right? There's A, there's B, there's C, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
8A, B, or C, right? 8A is just a visual depiction of a minor, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
8B is a visual depiction of that is or is indistinguishable from a minor, right? And those images have to be graphic. And then there is a depiction that appears to that there's an identifiable minor, right? So the harms to the minor are the same.
Yes, Your Honor.
So it doesn't have to be graphic.
Correct. It only needs to be graphic when digital images are involved. Okay.
And presumably, the reason they did that was it had been narrowed by Ashcroft. But there's probably, I'm throwing this out. There probably is a subset of digital images that are constitutionally protected. If you have ones that are not indistinguishable from active children, if you have something that looks like a 1930s Walt Disney cartoon, obviously distinguishable. Is that the reason they did this?
Your Honor, they did this.
Or if they have something that looks like Pootie in a Baroque painting floating around at the top. I'm asking.
No, Your Honor. They did this because of the advancing technology with digital images. It's becoming increasingly harder to prove that an image actually contains an actual child. So they created this narrowly defined subcategory of images to include digital images, computer images, and computer-generated images.
There's nothing in the province inquiry to suggest that he thought that these weren't real children, is there?
Correct, Your Honor, but Section 8B doesn't only apply to virtual child pornography. It applies when it is an actual child as well. The statute reads, is or is indistinguishable from that of a minor.
Well, but that gets me back to my question, which is indistinguishable is, you know, is a fairly narrow standard. And they had this problem because technology got better. But don't they also have this problem because there's probably a subset of images that are constitutionally protected, and they said we'll draw the line at things that are distinguishable, manipulated images that are distinguishable. Or am I wrong?
Go ahead and answer his question.
Your Honor, they didn't draw the line here between indistinguishable and distinguishable. They drew the line at the type of medium the images.
Well, that's, I'm talking about manipulated, you know, created images. I'm not talking about actual pictures of kids.
Yes, Your Honor, could you repeat your question?
No, never mind. It's obvious that...
I mean, what's the purpose of having A? I mean, under what... I mean, your theory, any child pornography that's taken from a computer falls into B and has to be graphic. And that's a novel legal argument, given all the child pornography cases that we see that are come from a computer and that we've upheld under the DOS factors.
Correct,
given the definition of visual depiction. I mean, they can't be the same thing, counsel.
Your Honor, the plain language of the statute compels that reading. The purpose of A is for images that are not digital. So first-generation images.
It says, or data stored on a computer disk or by electronic means, which is capable of conversion into a visual image. Isn't that every computer file in the world?
Is that, that is the definition of visual depiction, Your Honor, but subsection 8B narrows visual depiction further down. So it says...
So all these cases where we've been applying the DOS factors since this statute was amended, were wrong. Because we didn't require that they were graphic.
Your Honor, I can't speak to all those cases. I'm not arguing that all those cases are wrong.
Well, I mean, do you have a single case from a single federal circuit saying that your argument in this case is correct when it comes to just child pornography that was taken off of someone's computer, that makes it an 8B case?
Your Honor, I, in my research, have found no case that says that a case that deals with child pornography must fall under Section 8B.
And have you found any case that suggests that this definition of graphic that you're proposing we adopt for all child pornography, in fact, applies to all child pornography rather than to child pornography that is what appears to be children?
Well, Your Honor, I would point this Court's direction to United States versus Williams, which is cited by the CCA and the government. Decided in 2006, and while it's not a child pornography possession case, it is a pandering provision under the Protect Act case, and the pandering provision does not include a graphic requirement. So when the Court was discussing lascivious exhibition, it cited to Knox in a footnote for the proposition that nudity wasn't required. However, in that same footnote, the Court went on to note that under the graphic requirement in the obscenity provision of the Protect Act, that the Knox result is likely eliminated. The graphic result under the obscenity provision and the graphic result under the child pornography possession provision are identical. Thus, in a case of child pornography where the image must also be graphic, the Knox result is likely eliminated, as Williams suggests.
You do understand that child pornography doesn't have to meet the definition of obscenity, that it's a special class, right? I mean, that's the whole purpose. Right, but then when it comes to dealing with things that aren't real children, it has to be obscene?
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, I have a question. Since we're reviewing the providence of a plea here, mm-hmm. and if we were to assume that your argument in regard to graphic is accurate, as I read that definition of graphic, it requires exposure of the genitals, or at least partial exposure of the genitals. And when I read the military judge's summary of the three images that we're talking about, images one and two, I believe, are, he says that the genitals are exposed. Now, I don't see you questioning his summaries of that, and, you know, obviously we've looked at the images as well. Why isn't that enough in by itself to say that there's no substantial basis to question this plea?
Yes, Your Honor. When Specialist Wong describes the first image, he does say that the photograph is directed at her pubic area and you can see the pubic area. However, from his description of the image itself and the image itself, you cannot see the pubic area of the individual. As noted in the first Knox decision, the pubic area is directly above the genitalia, not below or alongside of it.
Well, what about images two and three, where he says specifically, labia majora and anus are partially visible?
Specialist Blau had never said the labia majora or the anus were partially visible. That was never discussed between Specialist Blauen and the military judge throughout the Providence inquiry. Specialist Blauen made statements that the genital area was visible in the photograph, and the military judge kept asked on multiple times about the genital area and the groin area, which indicate a broader area than what is actually prescribed under the statute.
But the labia majora is part of the genitals, is that correct?
The labia majora is part of the genitals. However, Specialist Bowen never said that the labia majora was visible, nor did he discuss that with the military judge. He did indicate that in all of the photographs that you could see the genitals or the pubic area of the people depicted in the photographs. However, a quick review of Prosecution Exhibit 4 would show that Specialist Bowen didn't understand what it meant to be able to see the genitals or the pubic area, or what it meant to be a graph at the Civius exhibition. The military judge reviewed the photographs and found that 75% of the photos were not as described by Specialist Blown and found that they were not child pornography.
If we find that digital doesn't apply to these images, do you still prevail?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
If we find that the graphic requirement that you're arguing doesn't apply, do you still prevail?
Yes, Your Honor. I see I'm out of time. May I?
Please answer the question. Thank you.
Yes, Your Honor. We still prevail because Specialist Blown's plea is not provident. As I stated before, the military judge found that 75% of the images did not comport with Specialist Blown.
Well, I want to ask you about that. 75% of the images, of the 173 images, of the 633 images, where do you get the 75% from?
75% is that the government introduced into evidence 12 images. 9 of them were found not to be child pornography.
Did they not introduce the stipulation of fact?
They did introduce a stipulation of fact, Your Honor. However, the stipulation of fact only stipulated that they were likely child pornography.
I thought that the military judge based his acceptance of the plea on the three images that he concluded met the statutory definition.
He did specifically base his findings on those three images.
So, as far as I understand it, he didn't accept the plea with respect to any of the other images. So what's the problem?
That is correct, Your Honor, but this is a guilty plea. Had it been a contested case, then the images could affirm the case on its own, but it's a guilty plea. So the record must demonstrate that Specialist Blown understood the law and how it applied to the facts in his case.
Well, so he understands that the child pornography is illegal, right? And he explains to the military judge why he believes that and why he believes these images are child pornography. The military judge accepts his plea with respect to those three photos. Where's the problem?
The problem comes in 75% of the images he said
that had nothing to do with the military judge's acceptance of his plea.
Yes, but those images demonstrate that Specialist Blown didn't understand what he was pleading to. He said that all 12 were child pornography, and at the end of the day, only 3 were. The military judge never conducted any further inquiry to clear up that misunderstanding. Without any further inquiry or explanation, Specialist Blown's plea cannot be said to be provident.
So is that in response also to Judge Erdman's question about how appellant still prevails in this case? Or do you have additional points on that?
That is an answer to the question, is that the military judge never cleared up the inconsistency or misunderstanding of Specialist Blown's understanding of the law and how it applied to the facts in his case.
To illustrate your point, if the other nine pictures were of fully clothed people, and he still pled guilty to them, is that essentially what you're saying?
Correct, Your Honor.
That would suggest to you that he didn't fully understand what he was doing.
Correct.
If you believe that, yeah, I get it.
Well, did you get your question answered, by the way, before we went
elsewhere? Thank you.
Good. You have opportunity on rebuttal. Counsel of the government, please.
Judge Baker, judges of the court, may it please the court. My name is Captain Ben Hogan, along with Major Chuck Corey, we represent the government in this matter. The government asks that this court adopt U.S. v. Knox for the proposition that there is no nudity requirement for visual depictions of minors under 2256(8). The government also asks that this court affirm the findings and sentence because appellant was proud of his plea for the three images found to be child pornography. The government will first address why this is an 8A case as opposed to an 8B case. Under 8A, you need a visual depiction of an actual minor. The definition for a visual depiction is, or part of it, is data stored on computer disk or by electronic means, which is capable of conversion into a visual image, and data which is capable of conversion to a visual image that has been transmitted by any means. That would include this particular case, where you do have digital images, but it's still a visual depiction, would put it under 8A. Then you would look at whether it's an actual minor or one that's indistinguishable from. And in this case, appellant, while he doesn't specifically state that it's an actual minor, there's a strong implication throughout the entire province and in the stipulation of fact that we're talking about actual minors.
Would there be a mechanism by which the appellant, if there was uncertainty, could say, under which section are you charging this?
He could ask that.
If there's confusion as to whether it's A or B or C or D, is there anything that prevents the appellant from saying, please be more specific about which section you're charging this under?
Yes, Your Honor. The military judge read the entirety of the 8A definition, all three definitions of child porn, and he specifically went through 8A, and nowhere in there did the defendant, the appellant, state that it was not actual children. All of the phrases that he uses are saying that's underage children. Even five times the military judge refers to the photographer, what the photographer intended. And appellant did not correct him and said, well, these aren't actual children. Therefore, we fall under 8A, which would give us, in terms of looking at sexually explicit conduct, it would be 2A5 as opposed to 2B3.
But doesn't B also contain actual minors? The visual depiction is a digital image, or computer-generated image that is that of a minor, just taking out, or is indistinguishable from. So doesn't that cover both? And if it covers both, then what is the distinction between an actual minor between subsection A and subsection B?
It does include actual minors in 8B. However, the government would argue that the reason why 8B was instituted was primarily because of the United States v. Free Speech, or Ashcroft v. Free Speech Coalition. And in that case, that primarily dealt with virtual pornography.
But if you're an accused, how do you know, and if they are actual minors that the case is talking about, and in this case that seemed to be what happened, how do you know whether you're being prosecuted under A or B? And how does the government know? I mean, how do we know?
Based on the intent of Congress of why they put did the 2003 amendments, and that was specifically to address the is or appears to be language that they had in there, which applied to the virtual pornography. So they put in AB.
But you would agree that B covers actual minors as well as virtual minors?
Yes, Your Honor. In certain cases, it could address actual minors. When it's not clear that it's actually a minor that is engaging in this sexually explicit conduct.
Is there a subsection someplace else in the statutory scheme where digital image, or computer-generated image is defined, hard defined?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor.
So if there's some ambiguity about whether A or B applies, should the burden be on the government? Or if there's some to show which one it is? Or should the accused in a specific case demand that the government identify which provision applies? Where's the burden lie?
It would be dependent upon the case, Your Honor, particularly with this case, he's conceding the fact that it's under 8A.
You said he's conceding the fact? Where did he concede the fact?
The military judge is specifically going through 8A with him, and at no point does he say, no, this is an 8B case. The military judge did read him the definition of 8B and 8C.
So the concession is really based on a failure to object?
Yes,
sir. Did the military judge just read him 8A, or did he read them A, B, and C?
He read 8A, B, and C. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So how from that did the accused know that they were proceeding under 8A? Because he read him everything, right? I mean, he read him 8A, he read him 8B, he read him 8C, he read him the description of what lascivious conduct was. He read him 2A, he read him 2B, he defined what graphic meant. I mean, he basically read him a lot of things, right? So how did this individual, which is a good thing, right? Unless the individual was left uncertain as to what it was he was pleading guilty to. So how do we know that he knew what he was pleading guilty to? Do you understand the question?
Yes.
How do we know that he knew that they were proceeding under 8A and not under 8B? And if he didn't know, does it matter or does it not matter, and why?
It's not clear that he knew they were proceeding under 8A, but it doesn't matter because the progression in which the military judge was doing the providency. He first was establishing where the images were coming from, which would satisfy the visual depiction portion. Then the mere fact that he's talking about the underage children would fall under the actual. Then he defines lascivious again, not putting in the graphic requirement, orienting him down the 8A path. And at no point did he state that, well, no, we're under 8B. He had been read the definition, so he fully was aware of what was going on. And then you get to lascivious exhibition, and that's where the military judge then did the analysis from that.
Did the military judge provide him with the definition of graphic?
He did.
And isn't graphic a definition that falls under B rather than A?
It is, Your Honor. He read out the entirety of 2256 and went through a progression. He initially was asking, okay, is this sexual intercourse? Is bestiality shown? So he was going through the statute to see where exactly appellant was going, and
so
it went towards 8A.
I mean, your argument is that throughout the overall definitions that he gave him, he should have known he was talking about A, but yet if he gave him the definition of graphic, which applies only to B, why wouldn't the argument be that he was referring to B? Why would he read that if the government and he were not considering it?
He was reading the entirety of 2256 because he also read 8C as well.
Okay. And I guess we get back to the question that's been asked several times. Then how does the accused know?
he's been read the definition, and based off of that, that there's a visual depiction, he's been read that definition, and that there's an actual minor involved, we could then fall under 8A.
But you told Judge Erman, I thought earlier, that you thought that the way that it's written, that 8B could also include actual children. Didn't you? If you take out the clause.
In very limited cases, yes, Your Honor. However, again, the intent of 8B was designed for virtual pornography as opposed to...
And I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I mean, I asked the appellant's counsel the same question. Do you have a case that talks about the distinction between 8A and 8B?
No, Your Honor. And there's no case law out there as to what exactly graphic entails. And all of
Is appellant's plea provident under A and B, or only under A, or only under B in the government's view?
In the government's view, under A and B, he's provident.
Why?
I'll address the graphic nature. Government believes that graphic doesn't institute a nudity requirement either. It heightens the standard, but at the same time, looking at all three of these images, images 2 and 3, do show the labia majora and anus satisfying even a nudity requirement. And looking at image 1, the government posit that you can see the groin area. And therefore, even under a nudity requirement, it would be provident to satisfy the graphic effect.
So your position is groin area is enough? It doesn't have to be genitals or pubic area?
Correction, Your Honor. Pubic area.
Is Knox accepted as the general rule in the federal courts?
There hasn't been any cases that have cut against Knox. Four different jurisdictions have... endorsed it.
There are thousands of child pornography cases every year in the federal courts. And it would seem that if were accepted, we would have more precedent out there. I mean, obviously that's what the Third Circuit said back in 1994, but I'm just questioning whether it is widely accepted or that was kind of a one-of-a-kind Third Circuit decision.
I mean, is Knox really anything more than an application of DOST to particular facts in a particular case?
No, Your Honor.
I guess let's put it a different way. Nudity or lack of nudity is one of the DOST factors, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. However, just as Knox articulates, you still have to have an exhibition of the genitals or pubic area. That's the threshold inquiry that you have, and then you get to DOS plus the totality. And this isn't just a one-off case. There are other jurisdictions that have endorsed Knox and have gone through why they endorse the fact that there is no nudity required for that threshold inquiry. So looking at if only lascivious exhibition of the genitals, and you don't have the graphic in there, falling under 8A, the government would posit that there is no nudity requirement because there's no intent by Congress to actually institute nudity. Exhibition, the definition of it is to show or display or offer or present. And it's in order to attract notice to what is interesting or instructive. So one can still be clothed and you could still see, or you could still have an exhibition of the genitals or pubic area.
So if this court were to conclude that either Knox didn't survive Ashcroft or isn't applicable in the military system, in light of the fact that the military judge was citing to Knox, do we have a provident plea then? Or was there a misapplication of the law by the military judge to such an extent that the plea was no longer provident?
If Knox is found not to be...
If this court were to decide that either Knox didn't survive Ashcroft or this court were to decide that it isn't applicable, in light of the fact the military judge was talking about Knox and the applicability of Knox during the plea inquiry, is that plea provident?
Yes, Your Honor, and it's based off the fact that he is describing two of the three photos that he was found provident of, image one, image two, and in there he demonstrates his understanding of what lascivious exhibition.
But if he's, if the judge is citing to Knox and Knox isn't the law, then he's pleading under a theory, under an erroneous theory, and how is the plea provident?
Because in each of the three photos, you still have nudity or partial nudity. And even if Knox was not applicable, then...
Well, no, but if he's pleading under a misapprehension of the applicable law, how is the plea provident? If the judge says Knox applies and Knox says X, and he then pleads, and he's pleading under a misapprehension of the law, and I don't care whether two or three say X or Y. If he's pleading under misapprehension of applicable law, how is the plea provident?
He's still knowingly pleading because he's being read the entire definition.
I couldn't hear you there.
He's still knowingly pleading because he's being read the entire definition and the fact that he's pleading that the three images themselves are more onerous than what the Knox standards requires.
In the government's view, what is the delta, if any, between Knox and 10?
In terms of whether they're the same or...
Yeah, what's the difference? What could be the difference? What is the difference? Is it the whole difference between the DOS factor about nudity, partial nudity, or partially clothed versus whatever the language is, can see part of the things we're talking about?
There definitely is a heightened standard with the graphic in there because there's additional emphasis on that area that you observe it. However, you can still observe something through clothing. It would institute, most likely, at the most, a discernibility requirement where you'd be able to see the contours of the genitalia.
And that would be permitted in Knox but not under 10, or in your view, both?
In Knox, you wouldn't have the discernibility requirement, but with under 10, you would have the discernibility requirement.
Yeah, because under Knox, it's just covered, but it doesn't matter. All right. Okay. Aren't we getting a little close to overbreadth here?
No, Your Honor, and that's something that Knox looked at. And it determined that, as the other appellate courts that found for Knox, the proposition for Knox, they looked at that as well. And one of the things you look at is what Congress intended. And that was the exploitation of children, which is...
Well, the exploitation of children is a horrible thing, but it doesn't entitle you to violate the Constitution. I mean, that doesn't answer the question. I mean, that may be why Congress passed the statute, but that doesn't answer the question.
You do look at the intent, but then you look at other things as there's a restricting, or at least the threshold inquiry is that of exhibition, the no nudity requirement. But then with the limiting factors, the lasciviousness, when you go through DOS plus totality, that's what really hones in and makes sure that you don't have the overbreath that you're talking about.
Understanding the government didn't appeal this piece, did the military judge get it right that the other nine pictures didn't meet the definition? In the government's view?
For the majority of the photos, Your Honor, yes. However, there's one or two photos where you would pass the exhibition of the genitals, that threshold inquiry. But once you get into DOS, government would posit, yes, they are child pornography. However, it would be much more of a question, something that maybe could be debated. But
so on a continuum, it's the government's view that without conceding the judge got it right or wrong, he picked the right three pictures to focus on?
He did, Your Honor.
Thank you.
In conclusion, we ask that this court find that lascivious exhibition does not impose a nudity requirement. That is the clear intent of Congress in the statute, and several jurisdictions support this. Also, appellant was brought into the plea because two of the three images described in detail, and the third image is extremely similar. In fact, it's the same girl, image two and image three. Therefore, we ask that the court affirm the findings and sentence. Any questions?
No further questions. Thank you. Counsel for the appellant, you have rebuttal time, please.
There are 2 points. First, it is not clear that the military judge in the Providence inquiry is applying subsection 8A and not subsection 8B. Throughout the Providence, at the beginning of the Providence inquiry, he did provide all definitions under AA, AB, 8C. The only thing that is then clear is that he then moves on to lascivious exhibition, which is prohibited under both 8A and 8B. He goes through the DOS factors to determine whether there is a lascivious exhibition. The rest of the inquiry he never states that he is applying 8A, or there's nothing in the inquiry to address whether or not he is squarely under 8A. Second, Knox is no longer cited for the proposition that nudity is not required since the 2003 amendments and the Supreme Court decision in Ashcroft. Knox can no longer be a sound decision in light of Ashcroft. Ashcroft reaffirmed that Ferber was about the way the images are made and not about what they intended to convey. Knox's sole basis of that decision was about what the images were intended to convey and didn't look to whether there was an exhibition of the genitals or pubic area, but used the DOS factors to determine whether there was an exhibition. And as this court noted in Barbarian, the statutory threshold is whether there is an exhibition before you even get to whether it is lascivious or that the DOS factors apply. In conclusion, this court should dismiss the charge and specification, as specialist Brown is not provident.
All right, thank you, counsel. The court thanks both counsel. The case is now submitted, blah, blah, blah. And we'll stand in recess until tomorrow morning.